let's get going. Lots and lots of material for you this hour. Hopefully we'll be able to get through it. Jeff and Erica back for our third time this week. Three times a week we are here to try to help you with the best health information we can get together and present for your benefit. There is so much misinformation, disinformation, lying going on out there. It's not funny. People just don't understand. I don't blame them. They are captive audience to one of the most malevolent machines in recorded human history, and that would be the mainstream media. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Nice to talk with you again.
Yes, it's a pleasure.
Okay. We are going to start off tonight with something that we sort of pioneered here, and it's most of the credible scientists and physicians, doctors, and so forth, they're very busy. They're besieged with people yammering at them to come on their podcast or their radio program or whatever. I don't do that. I don't bother most of them once in a while. But Dr. Ryan Cole has earned a very special place in the hierarchy of professionals in the world of science and medicine who are well worth listening to. And what we do is we play a conversation that they have had with perhaps another interviewer. Perhaps it's just an address at an event or some kind of a presentation. And then we kind of interview or stop during the playing of the video. You could call it a vinterview if you want. But it's kind of fun. And Ryan was with Maria Z, the Australian talk show host, or whatever she would call herself. I'm not sure, but she has a lot of A-list guests on. She had Ryan Cole on. And I've never heard Ryan Cole better. And I think Erica agrees with that. This was an outstanding presentation. 1 hour, we're going to get through about a half an hour of it tonight. Maybe we'll finish the rest of it up next week. Pretty good talk.
Yeah, it is.
He brings up something that you were the first that I ever heard discuss, and that was the coming explosion of cancer. When we realized that this bioweapon had as its primary objective, it's got many objectives, but I think that the primary, and I think Erica would agree, is the destruction of the human immunological system. We have no immune system, we're dead. And literally, that's what's happening to people.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned cancer.
Based on the animal studies that, are being hidden from us. But we have to give credit to Ryan Cole because he was the first physician to speak out about it. You know, being a pathologist, he sees the tissue biopsies and analyzes them, and it wasn't long into the vaccine rollout that he came forward and reported on what he was seeing, and it was very disturbing.
Well, it was exactly as you said. It was an explosion of cancer. I called it super cancer, and it's unbelievable how when one individual falls into the morass of having no longer a truly functional immune system, how quickly cancer can destroy a human body. We're seeing it happen within a week in some cases. I think Ryan Cole said that in this interview, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, very fast, going from stage one or even an indolent cancer that might have been in remission or hadn't been detectable, just racing to stage four metastatic cancer in a very short period of time.
And he made a number of points, which you will hear, not the least of which is that normal cancer treatment protocols do not work with no immune system to back it up. They don't work. You really are in trouble. And I don't mean to sound negative, which I always sound to some degree on our programs, because this is an extremely negative topic. There just aren't cures. Alfalfa baths don't work. You can take a lot of supplements, and they may help mitigate some of the mechanisms of the bioweapon injections. But we're at a point now where you just have to make a decision. Am I going to be safe, or am I just going to be free and easy and just go out and get back to normal? Well, if you do that and you're vaxxed, you're in trouble. If you do that and you're not vaxxed, you may be in just as much trouble. We're following that issue of shedding horizontal transmission very closely. It's quite a story. All right, anything you want to add before we start this little conversation up between Dr. Ryan Cole and Maria Z?
No, go ahead. Let it roll.
Okay, here we go.
You started speaking last year about the increase in cancers that you were seeing in your clinic. Let's start there. Let's talk about that increase. Has that further increased now?
Yes. I mean, I'm still seeing it at the same degree increased in the different age groups above yearly averages. So like you mentioned, I've been doing pathology for 26 years. I've seen about 500,000 patients in my career. So I know the annual patterns in certain types of diseases. So when the shots rolled out, it was interesting that correlating with each decile of age group coming downward, I would start to see a bump up in certain types of cancers, which was very concerning. And the first signal I saw was endometrial cancers of the uterus. And, you know, normally I would see maybe two of those a month, two or three a month, and I was starting to see two or three per week, which was very, very concerning. And then I started seeing melanomas of the skin at younger ages, and those ended up being thicker. And it was interesting because I knew the clinics I was serving, you know, we weren't as tightly locked down here as many states and countries. So I know those clinics stayed open. So it wasn't the excuse that, gosh, nobody could get into the doctor and these were all a delay to diagnosis. So, yes, I'm still seeing that uptick. I'm still seeing shockingly odd cancers at shockingly odd ages. And
I want to pause there because this goes back to what Dr. Russell Blaylock said, that we would be seeing cancers at an epidemic rate unprecedented in number. And he said we'd even be seeing cancers we rarely see, if ever, cancers that don't even have a name. He said things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's what I heard too, yeah.
And so here's Ryan Cole right there. Oh, it's close to a year later, but he's seeing exactly what Dr. Blaylock forecast. All right, let's go back.
So that pattern persists, and we're starting to understand more and more the mechanisms as to why those are happening.
But could you talk us through those mechanisms and why we are seeing this uptick in cancer?
Certainly. So one of the biggest problems is the spike protein persists in the body after the shots. And so the synthetic RNA, we know from a Stanford study a couple months ago, came out that showed the synthetic RNA doesn't break down like scientists had hoped and predicted. So with that synthetic RNA still in our lymph nodes, spike is persistently produced. That spike protein can bind to two very important genes. One is called P53, and I call that one the guardian of the genome. So goes your P53. It's a tumor suppressor gene. So basically, it's a family of genes that keeps atypical cells from proliferating. But when that P53 gene is bound, those regulatory pathways are no longer regulated. Now cancer can take off. And then another very important one that a lot of women I know are aware of is the BRCA gene, BRACA gene. And that's very responsible for breast cancers and ovarian cancers. We also know that that spike protein can bind to that BRCA receptor. Now, in addition to that, this spike protein can get into our T cells. And all day long, we have little rips and tears in our DNA, and we have little zippers that zip it back together. Well, when the spike gets into the nucleus of our very important white blood cells, the T cells, then that DNA repair can't happen anymore. The spike blocks that from happening. And then there's also another DNA repair mechanism that's blocked. It's a gene MSH3, MSH2, MSH6. And again, we know that if you have those in the wrong ratio, that can also lead to cancer pathways. So, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg of the different things that can induce that into happening. And the problem is that synthetic spike is making spike that persists in the body. We know in the Stanford study, at least 60 days, a colleague in Germany, Dr. Burkhardt, found spike deposited in a post-vaccinated patient 128 days at time of autopsy. So this spike protein, the Salk Institute showed that it's a toxin, that it can induce the same bad effects that the viral infection can produce itself. Now, the difference is if you get the viral infection, your body can clear the infection within about a week or so if you're reasonably immune competent. Now you have the virus gone, you have the spike gone for the most part, and you're not prone to these chronic pathways from a synthetic spike circulating constantly. So that's kind of the concern. You know, a natural infection from this, you know, engineered virus, you know, no matter what, it was a virus that was tinkered with in a laboratory setting. But if you have the whole virus and you mount a whole immune response, then you're generally okay. If you get excess amount of spike from, you know, these shots, then that becomes a very big concern.
Dr. Cole, a lot of people who are immunocompromised, because you mentioned there, if your immune system's fairly strong, you can overcome the virus. A lot of people who are immunocompromised have been told to go and get these injections, and what we're seeing is that it's much worse for them when they do. But they were worried that they wouldn't be able to survive the virus. Can you talk to those people in particular?
Yeah, and see, this is frustrating, because that's so anti-science to say, gosh, you're immune compromised, so we're going to give you a shot to an immune system that's immune compromised and isn't going to be able to mount an immune response, even to, you know, a vaccine. So, you know, a lot of immune compromised people are actually very vitamin D.
So what he said there was important, whether you get the virus, which has morphed, the original virus is long gone. The SARS-CoV-2 virus now is, we think, different and probably stronger in its impact on the body. Or if you become immunocompromised from the bioweapon injection. In either case, he's addressing his remarks to those instances. It doesn't matter how you got immune compromised. You have AIDS either way, from the virus or from the bioweapon. Erica, anything to add?
Yeah, possibly. With the virus, it's unknown. I think in some people, maybe if the T cells are becoming destroyed or if you've developed some kind of autoimmune reaction towards your own interferon, which can happen. It's presumed right now that these people can get over without having, you know, immune suppression. They can overcome, defeat the virus successfully most of the time. But with a shot, all bets are off. I mean, these shots are completely decimating people's immunity. I mean, there's been multiple papers written to that effect, and it's doing it in multiple ways. So it won't be a quick fix.
No. All right, let's go back to Dr. Ryan Cole.
Which is interesting. And any individual that's vitamin D deficient can't mount a good immune response from any vaccine, for that matter. That's why we saw so many people in care homes, the elderly, pass on and be so susceptible. The majority of those individuals are vitamin D deficient. Most nursing homes around the world don't supplement them, which is kind of foolishness. But anyway, those immune compromised individuals, and I have an oncology colleague down in Texas, and he showed that none of his patients that were immune compromised chemo patients mounted any immune response to the shots at all. So again, this is another international problem with the suppression of early treatment. Of all the patients I treated with early treatment, you know, be it hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, fenofibrate, budesonide, steroids, anti-clotting agents, not a single patient I treated went to the hospital, not a single patient I treated passed on. About half of my patient cohort was elderly, multiply comorbid individuals. So even in those immune compromised individuals, if you can treat them with something that inhibits the binding of the spike to the cell, which many of those agents I just listed do, then their viral load goes down. And a very simple one, especially with Omicron, is just mixing some iodine drops in some salt water. And the moment you have a symptom, you start doing some nasal rinses and or gargling, and that will kill the virus straight away, very, very, very quickly. So these immune compromised individuals, it's foolishness in medicine to say we don't have early treatment for a disease. It's akin to me saying, gosh, you have a broken leg with a bone sticking out, you know, in 2 weeks when it's gangrenous, why don't you come in and then we'll consider treating you? Gosh, we'd never do that. Or a woman comes in with a urinary tract infection. I would never say, gosh, why don't you just go home when it, you know, reaches up into your kidneys and you need to be in the ICU, then we'll treat you. Nonsense. Early treatment has always been the standard of care in medicine. So, you know, be it an immune-compromised patient, be it a healthy patient, no matter what, you treat any and every disease early if you want to have a good outcome.
Now, iodine and salt water, not the most popular recommended thing to do, but you heard it from the doctor. He knows. Hydrogen peroxide, you can swab out your nasal cavities with that. You can gargle with it. I have a little ozone generator. I inhale ozone. If I have any little tickle in my throat or anything that even suggests I might be coming down with something like a cold, there are things to do, and that's what he's talking about. But it's all predicated ultimately on how well you take care of your body, what you put into your body. If you poison and toxify your body every day of the week, you're going to get sick. You're going to get real sick over time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the host response is a big part of this. So if you're not taking care of yourself and you get exposed to this, it's probably going to be a little bit harder. But again, it still has a 99% recovery rate, even in people with comorbidities, if they have access to early treatment and the right early treatment, and sometimes nothing at all.
Okay, let's go back to the conversation. Dr. Ryan Cole being interviewed by Maria Z. Z-E-E-E. Here we go.
Members now, you know, who were recovering and there was hope, and all of a sudden it's now so aggressive in their bodies. So is there anything that can be done to reverse this,
cancer,
to treat this?
Super cancers.
You know, that's a good question. I wish I had an easy answer for you, and I don't. The key is trying to turn the immune system back on after it's been suppressed. You know, I mentioned that Stanford study. We don't know. There's not a single study yet showing when the body stops making the spike protein from the synthetic mRNA. Not one study. The Stanford study stopped at 60 days. There was a Journal of Immunology study that showed at 4 months, spike was still circulating in exosomes, you know, similar to Dr. Burkhardt's autopsy study, 128 days there. Dr. Bruce Patterson, in one of his studies, showed spikes still circulating in Pac-Man cells in your blood, monocytes, CD16 monocytes. So we know that spike is persistent for a long time. We know it inhibits so many important immune pathways. Vitamin D levels are critical. I say vitamin D is like the conductor of your immune system. If you have vitamin D in normal levels, you have this fine conductor of a symphony that brings sections in and out appropriately. If you have low vitamin D, your immune system is like the mosh pit at a punk rock concert. So it's so important to have vitamin D in normal levels. A lot of individuals are deficient in trace minerals. Selenium will activate your T-cell activity. Selenium, about 3 or 4 Brazil nuts a day, if you like eating Brazil nuts. That's where a very good source of natural selenium is. A little bit of zinc, just enough, not too much, kind of the Goldilocks effect. Zinc will activate your T-cells. A little magnesium at bedtime is very good for mobilizing your vitamin D and also other enzyme pathways. Cutting out the sugar, the high fructose corn syrup, you know, those will dysregulate your immune system. So, you know, the closer you can get to eating close to nature and then supplementing as needed, we already live kind of in a toxic food jungle of, you know, bad things that get put into the body. Sleep is critically important for your immune system. The more rest you get, appropriately 7-8 hours a night, then your immune cells are stickier, literally stickier, and they can talk to each other. If you don't get enough sleep, your cortisol levels are dysregulated, and then your immune response is dysregulated. So, I mean, those are a few things one can do. The honest problem is we just don't know when the body stops making this spike and continues to drive some of those cancer pathways. And what I've heard from many oncologists I've talked to is the normal chemotherapies or the normal treatments they do, the cancers aren't responding as usual. There's a couple other things. It's interesting because ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, there are multiple anti-cancer studies for both of those medications. And there's another drug that I've taken for 3 years for chronic mononucleosis, but it's good for a lot of autoimmune conditions, and that's called low-dose naltrexone, which can be compounded by a pharmacy. And it also helps modulate your immune response, your T-cell response.
Okay, so just going down the list of supplements that are commonly talked about, fairly well known by most people who are interested in the subject. But the idea, again, is don't poison your body. Don't let food kill you. Food. And I use that term very loosely because it's not food. You cannot go into a store, a commercial retail grocery store, and come out with a shopping cart full of healthy products unless you are really lucky and really smart.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, nutrition is a big component to susceptibility, but, you know, managing stress, getting sunlight, try to minimize the EMFs. I mean, EMFs make your cell membranes a lot more permeable to pathogens.
Yeah.
Than they would be without
the EMFs.
Yeah. That can actually create a leaky blood-brain barrier. So, you know, it's insidious because you can't see them, feel them, generally, unless you're sensitive to them. You know, you're just unaware that they're there, but you're being bathed in them, and they do weaken your immune system.
Mm-hmm. He is admirably restrained in how he presents some... He dropped a lot of blockbusters there. The spike protein is, as Dr. Chetty said, the most toxic poison mankind has ever created, so far as we know. And it is horrific to the human body, and it has multiple ways of taking you down and out. This thing is bad. Now it's been found to persist at least 120 days in people who have taken the injection. And we think that if the mRNA packet, we'll call it that, with the liquid nanoparticles, LNPs, they're very, very toxic, if not deadly in and of themselves. And they're part of the package you get injected with. So
yeah, they're
don't
very,
take
they,
the
they
shot.
Can damage DNA, yeah. No, it's you don't need it. I mean, as he said, the original virus is long since gone. It's mutated now, so that it's, you know, it has enough mutations in it that it's no longer even remotely similar to the first
one.
We
shouldn't even call it SARS-CoV-2. It should be called.
Well, it's had so many different mutations now, and this latest Omicron thing, which we strongly suspect came out of a lab. There's just too many mutations in it to think that it had a natural evolution or ancestry. Mm-hmm. But they're calling that jokingly a booster for anybody that was not vaxxed. This could be your so-called vaccination. It would give you some immunity to a future infection, presumably. But I'm not sure I'd want that either.
I mean, it's still... No, I wouldn't. No.
No, and if you can avoid it, that would be the best thing. I mean, it's... The full extent of the consequences of this thing is unknown.
Anything synthesized in a lab and released into the general public or populace is off the table forever. And you think about the construct of what's in these shots. And we've talked about it for over a year now, well over a year, and it's just horrific. And to call this a vaccine is one of the biggest disservices to the spoken language that I can think of. It is not a vaccine. Wasn't conceived of anything to be remotely like a vaccine. Wasn't created to be one. It was deployed as what it was intended to do, to kill people. It is a biological weapon. It is not a protector. Period.
No, it's a genetic modification, and it wreaks a lot of havoc on the body, maybe irreparable harm.
Okay, let's see here. Next step is right there. We'll start right there. Okay.
7 and 8, those are responsible for keeping viruses in check. So the other thing we're seeing is reactivation of mononucleosis, herpes family viruses, human papillomavirus. So I've seen an uptick in human papillomaviruses in pap smears and cervical biopsies, which leads to an increase in cervical cancers as well. There was a really good paper out of the Netherlands on the Pfizer shots by Dr. Fossa et al., and that one showed... And the conclusion in that paper was there's a concerning dysregulation of the innate immune system. That's your dendritic cells, your macrophages, and T cells. Those are the ones that keep viruses in check. Those are the ones that keep cancers in check. So just as much as we're seeing activation of cancers, we're also seeing activation of so many other viral families. I find it interesting that, you know, in the summer here in the States, when the shots started rolling out in the kids, all of a sudden we had an RSV outbreak, respiratory syncytial virus. And off season, the wrong time of year in the summer, well, it's because kids were getting this shot. And what did it do? Suppress them. And there, even in the Pfizer data dump, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they admitted, after you get the shot, you're immune suppressed for at least a week or two, which is exactly when everybody after their shots started getting COVID.
Correct.
So the shots, we knew, well, I knew it early on when the data started coming out. Every time a shot would roll out, you'd see a peak in COVID cases wherever in the world that was. So that's the other concerning finding is, and this is important too, because people with long COVID and or long COVID-like symptoms after their shots, their doctor really should be checking them for reactivated herpes family viruses. I have a colleague down in Texas. He says anywhere from 6 to 8 out of 10 patients post shot that are coming in with fatigue are testing positive for reactivated mononucleosis, Epstein-Barr virus number 4. And I mean, there are some treatments you can do. I keep mine in check on and off. I've suffered chronic fatigue for many years, but there are things one can do. But you can't find that for which you do not look. So I just like to make people at least aware, gosh, if you're feeling that chronic fatigue, make sure you get an appropriate reactivated microbe panel. I don't know how prevalent Lyme disease is down there in Australia, but I know here in the States, many regions, people who have chronic Lyme, they'll get reactivated Lyme disease. And many other microbes. So that's the other concern. And then you pointed out as well the DMED, the military database. A huge concern that I have is the neurologic conditions, increase in multiple sclerosis, which can be Epstein-Barr related, by the way. About 80% of cases have high titers of Epstein-Barr. Tremors, seizures, neurocognitive decline, so many things of that nature that S1, and this is why the shot is more dangerous than the virus now. So the virus.
Okay, this is important. So for him to say that is a major statement. The shot is more dangerous than the virus now. You bet it is.
Before, when it was the Alpha, Delta variant, original Wuhan variant, the spike would split. You had a S2 and an S1 subunit, and that S1 would split off and go into circulation, cause clotting. That S1 could land anywhere in the body, cross the blood-brain barrier. Now, the shot is made for that original Wuhan spike. The shot is made for a virus that went extinct in humanity over a year ago. The Wuhan variant doesn't exist. They have not modified these shots whatsoever. With the Omicron variant, it acts more like a cold because the mutation in that spike doesn't allow for the S2 and the S1 to split apart as much. So you end up with more of a whole spike subunit instead of this split subunit, S1 and S2, which means we're seeing less clotting with Omicron. We're seeing less severe disease and hospitalization with Omicron. But where are we seeing the severe disease and where are we seeing the clotting? From the shots.
Vaccinated people, yeah.
Yeah, from the shots proper. And that's the problem. Now the shot is more dangerous than the virus from a scientific point of view.
No question about it. And one of the things Erica does in her incredible research is monitor various social media groups of people who have been injured and otherwise damaged by these biological weapons, which are designed to kill people. That's what they're designed to do. He's saying some important things, but what do you see on there that is the most crazy-making things are these people still trying to rationalize, I'm leaning toward getting the shot, yeah, I should get the shot. And then there's the group that think Novavax is safe, and they want to get Novavax, and what was it, last program or the program before? Somebody was talking about actually flying to India so they could get the Novavax injections. What are we finding out now about the injuries and damage being reported? This is a recent rollout from the Novavax injection.
It looks like the Novavax is fraught with just about as many problems as the Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and J&J. People are reporting, it has been available in Australia, I believe, for about a month. So the largest population of people who have had Novavax are in Australia, I believe. Canada is chomping at the bit, because they've had these other ones foisted on them, and people have been holding out for a more traditional type of vaccine. But they're now finding out, as it's being rolled out in Canada, that this Novavax has its own set of problems. Can read you one from today. Someone says, "Hello, I have an appointment for Novavax on Tuesday. I was kind of hoping to wait for Medicago." That's the one that's produced in tobacco plants. It's just viral-like particles from the coronavirus. But they're stalling on that. I'm not sure why. But I need to return to my healthcare job. I've been off for 8 months. Does anyone have any feedback on Novavax that recently took it? Someone says, I have a little injection pain, arm pain, some ocular migraine symptoms that were very short-lived. And my asthma was a bit unhappy for 2 days. Within 48 hours, all resolved. Someone else says, I have lots of heart problems with Novavax. There are countless people in the Australian groups that are having ongoing heart issues after the shot. I wouldn't touch that garbage with a 10-foot pole. We all need to be demanding Covaxin from the government. It's the only one that doesn't cause these issues. Covaxin is the one that's produced in India, and I believe that's the one that Dr. Robert Malone was a consultant for.
I think you're right.
And it's a killed virus. It's the whole virus just...
It's the old school.
Yeah, very old school, and what its effectiveness is, who knows. Someone else says,
And which virus is it, Erica? Is it the original one that's been dead for a year?
These are all, every single vaccine that's out right now that's available to anybody, it's all based on the original Wuhan strain, which is, as Ryan Cole said, extinct. But they're trying to say that, there's still some cross-protection. Well, I think that remains to be seen. It's like getting a flu shot for a strain that was around 2 years ago.
Yeah,
why tie up your immune system with something that doesn't exist?
Correct.
Someone says here, this was interesting. Where is it? It seems Novavax is worse than or equal to Pfizer and Moderna in terms of heart issues, blood clots, neurological problems, body rash. Definitely not worth the cost. I was supposed to have my appointment this afternoon, but F this bullshit. Someone else says, I have not seen anything with blood clots yet. Where did you see this? I just know that people are dying after taking the mRNA. And then the original person says, puts a link to the Australian government's TGA website for adverse reactions.
Okay, we have something else that... Go ahead, finish up.
No, I just... if you think you're getting something better with this Novavax, just bear in mind it's all spike protein with a little bit of a Matrix M adjuvant, which is toxic. And it seems, that spike is biologically active and it roams around the body and wreaks havoc.
Yeah,
how long does it last?
I don't know.
Some of these people are having problems, a month out.
I mean, they may be referring to some of the long COVID cases as people with spike just running around. And I don't know. It's very difficult to keep all the facts in order for most people. And we do this every day. Erica's constantly researching. You came out with something, I don't know. It was six months ago, maybe longer. Airborne AIDS. We foresaw that the destruction of the human immune system would essentially parallel AIDS from HIV days, but not caused by HIV. It would still be AIDS, though. It would be VAIDS caused by the vaccine. And it looks like now we do have airborne AIDS from the vaxxed.
Yeah, that's a given. And this paper was published back in March. Again, this is something that came and went very quickly. And you wonder, did they not want people paying attention to it? This is fairly significant. They found another sequence in the spike protein that allows the virus to infect T cells, just like HIV. And what happens when a virus infects T cells is, those T cells die. They're eliminated. In the case of HIV, though, that virus, because it's a retrovirus, can insert its DNA or RNA into the cell, and then you will be permanently producing HIV viruses every time that cell multiplies, divides. There's some possibility that is also happening with the SARS virus. It's definitely happening with the mRNA vaccines, no question. That's definitely happening. And that's why these people who have had the vax are losing their immune systems. They're losing this critical part, these lymphocytes. They're being destroyed, decimated. There's some possibility that it could also happen with the virus itself. So, again, this is not just the flu. And they tried to deny this early on in the pandemic. They said there's no way that this virus is infecting T cells. But the autopsies have showed that it does happen. Is it happening in everybody? Doesn't look that way. But, again, this is nothing to take casually, especially now that we have immune-suppressed people harboring this virus, creating these escape variants that are going to find ways to evade the immune system. And Dr. Geert Vandenbosch is predicting that we are going to see some extremely virulent variants in the near future as a result of this really shoddy practice of using leaky vaccines and creating immune suppression in the people that receive them.
There's just nothing in Albert Bourla's Pfizer Corporation product that is good for your body. Nothing.
No, and then, you know, we add into that the molnupiravir, which is an antiviral that, is that Merck? Right. Yeah, that's Merck. That is mutagenic, meaning that's also going to drive the evolution of the virus to create versions of itself that escape the intervention, the therapeutic, meaning the antiviral, and the immune system. Not to mention what it does to your cells. It's mutagenic. That means it can cause cancer.
And part of the mutagenic world encompasses what you talked about. And again, I always give credit where credit's due. And I give a lot of credit to Erica. Her research has been extraordinary. She was the first person that I listen to a lot of these people, and I read a lot, first person to mention that interferon was obviously a target by these so-called vaccines, these kill weapons. Interferon. Tell us about interferon, and when that's gone, what does that mean?
Well, interferon, the type 1 interferon, is your cell's first line of defense against foreign invaders, microbes that want to get into a cell. So when the cell recognizes that, it will start producing interferon, which will create the unpleasant symptoms that you get, the fever, the body aches, the headaches, all those symptoms. That's an indication that interferon is working. It's detected the presence of something foreign that wants to overtake the cell. Well, these shots have to downregulate that to a point so that the mRNA, which is foreign and synthetic, can get into the cell and start producing protein. The cell doesn't like that. These are not native proteins that are being produced. So the cell's been hijacked. So it's kind of a sneaky way, if you can turn off the interferon, of having the cell produce a protein that it doesn't want to produce. But this down regulation, they call it, of interferon has very dire consequences that can result in the reactivation of latent viruses and cancer, essentially. It allows cancer to proliferate.
This may be one of the key points in triggering these outbreaks of reactivated viruses.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Triggering these super cancers. Interferon is a key. No one's talking about it. And we've been talking about it for the better part of a year. Go ahead.
Right. Very few people are mentioning it. They're mentioning toll-like receptors, and yes, that's part of this interferon response. But the downregulating the interferon response is critical for the success of this transfection technology. Otherwise, the cell self-destructs, and it won't produce the protein that they want you to produce.
The spike
which
protein.
Might be a good thing.
Might be a life-saving thing, but it ain't going to happen. We just have about 6 minutes left. This is an interesting little note I got. I'm going to read this. This is about the natural healers. Is it a good place for this?
Yeah, sure.
These people, they're older people, and they are natural healers and therapists, and they work. One works through intuitive massage. The other is an herbal practitioner. But what they're seeing is very interesting. I'm going to read this, and I thank Mary for sending it in. She writes, "Here's a variation on the observations of professionals working with human physiology. One, an 80-year-old native herbal practitioner and intuitive needed advice as she was very troubled by recent experiences with three clients. She thought her lifelong training was failing, and was worried that she was losing her God-given ability to help people and that she should finally retire. She receives, this is talking about from these patients. Listen to this. She receives energy field readings from the person as she does tests with formulations, herbs, muscle testing, etc. She is getting no response from the patients. None. She, quote, sees conditions within them, tumors, all the catastrophes. But with these clients, she is not receiving any energy back. She sees no energy fields and gets no readings. There are the polarities, positive and negative. One is living and one is dead. She said all three of them had no life. She exclaimed, they're dead. And each of these clients indicated they had been vaxxed. And more than likely, at least twice. So then I contacted a 70-year-old intuitive massage therapist and related the story. He gasped and said, oh my God, I thought it was me. I thought I was losing my abilities after I had been sick. It's been happening to me too with clients. He said, there's nothing there. No energy field, nothing. Then a practitioner's family member is a steady lady of faith and happily married. Both spouses had decided not to get jabbed, but the husband capitulated at work. When he came home, he greeted her and then shielded his eyes. He continued to avert her eyes for nearly a week until she demanded to know what was going on. His response, I can't look at you as my brain is disconnected from my heart. End quote. He sought spiritual help, but at last report, the man was still broken. No doubt these subtle kinds of anomalies are occurring worldwide, but still, they're worth noting here. Thanks for all your continuing efforts, and Erica's research is also greatly valued. So this is doing things to people on levels that it is so sophisticated. It's just overwhelming, and it's danger. This is the spike protein and the mRNA kill shots.
Now, those are interesting observations. I think on some level, I was looking at photos yesterday that some people, friends, former acquaintances of mine had posted, and I couldn't tell if I was projecting what I was seeing onto them, because I know they've all taken the shot, and I don't know if you're biased and you see things that aren't there. But no, reading that just now, that somewhat of what I was feeling as I was looking at these photographs, there's something empty about their expressions. And I, you know, maybe that's
what
it.
What about their eyes?
Yeah,
there's.
Again, it was hard to know if I'm projecting what I'm thinking, or you know, my own biases onto what I'm seeing. But now, hearing it from other people, you know, maybe I'm not imagining it. It just seemed empty. There's just some kind of hollowness about them.
Zombiness.
A little bit, yeah.
This is only going to continue to manifest and get worse. We think that there's a tsunami of very sick people and tragically dead people in the very near future coming this way.
I want to mention I happened upon a local police log today that was, it just had entries in it for what the local police department had been doing since January 1st of this year.
9/11 calls.
And I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I could not believe, I mean, some were car accidents, some were people getting locked out of their house, you know, just silly things like that. But there was a plethora of calls for chest pain, falls, stumbling falls, heart attack, strokes, seizures. It was at least probably half of every entry that was in there, of all the entries that were in there, half had something to do with people stroking out, having heart attacks, can't breathe, have chest pain, seizures, falls. And I could only think, this has to be the vax. I mean, I couldn't compare it to you know, a couple of years ago, what they would see. But I bet some of these EMTs and police officers are...
Oh, they know. They know. How does this tie in with the obituaries that you sometimes track?
I'm seeing an uptick in people being described as dying suddenly, dying unexpectedly, or dying in their sleep. In the age range of, I would say, 30s to 50s, it's starting to get noticeable.
Yeah, and less traffic on the roads. I get more reports about that all the time.
Yeah.
Not as many people. I think these people are, whether they're either dead or they're sick, and they're sick to the extent that they don't feel like going out. They don't know what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not tying it together with the jabs they got 3 and 5 months ago or whatever.
Right.
Bad stuff. All right. Thank you, Erica. We'll be
My
back
pleasure,
with
Jeff.
Everyone Monday. Okay. Take care.
Good weekend. Good night, everyone.
Okay. All right. We'll wish you all a good weekend. And again, take care of yourselves. Eat properly. And, you know, if you don't like supplements, at least get D3 and selenium. And quercetin is another one. NAC is another one. It's not hard to find these things. Give yourself a little advantage. All right? Okay, take care, prepare, and beware of the world around you. It's not what it was. We'll talk soon.